Father, we thank you for coming here today, for being in our presence, Lord, for healing us, Father, for revealing your majesty to us in all things, Father. We receive you. Lord, we don't want any resistance or any rebellion in us, Lord, so we just turn ourselves completely over to you, Father. God, we give everything up because Jesus gave everything for us, Lord. God, He loved us. You loved us before we even knew you, Lord. You loved us while yet we were still your enemy. We were in our shame and disgusting sin and loving the world and all that it could offer. And Lord, yet you still loved us, Father. You were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, Father, because you want us in your kingdom on that great and glorious day when you return and come down from glory to rule on the earth 1,000 years, God. You want every last one of us there before you, crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Oh, what an incredible journey life is, isn't it? It's just amazing the things that we get into as we walk this life. As we walk this life, you know, starting out, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, you know, I wanted to do just about everything my friends were doing. I'd get into mischief. I'd go out and have fun. We'd get on our bikes and ride around and do all kinds of crazy things. We weren't trying to be harmful, but we were kids, and sometimes we didn't know better, and sometimes, really, we did know better. But after almost 53 years now, I've kind of found some truths in life that, gosh, I wish I had understood all those years ago. You know, life, you're going to, when we're kids, we think we're going to have friends forever. This is my best friend, right? I love my best friend. We do everything together. We go, we eat together. We go to school together. We go to the movies together. We just have all kinds of fun, not realizing that in just a few years, we'll probably never see that person again. How many here can say that they know more than just a handful of people that they were associated with when they were in elementary school? I mean, I know that a few of my friends are still alive, but to be quite honest, I haven't talked to them in years. You know, life is going to send you in different directions. Okay? Sometimes you're going to go a direction that you never intended, just simply because of how life is going to work out. We're thinking one thing, and we got an enemy who's planning something else. An enemy who can see maybe down the road just a little bit further than us. God said that He made man just a little bit below the angels, right, in glory. But that doesn't mean that they're much smarter than you or I. It's just they see down the road a little further. And our enemy can see down your road just a little bit further than you can. So sometimes I know from my own experience, you get messed up. Get into things that you shouldn't. But God can take your life in a completely different direction than you thought it would go, than anyone thought that was possible. You can come from the worst possible background, being a cheater, a liar, a fornicator, even a murderer in your own heart, or even a murderer in fact. And God, if you're willing to go in that new direction and cross over into God's promises, there is so much more that He has available for you. You know, it reminds me of probably the one guy that comes to mind when I think of people going a new direction, somebody going a new direction and crossing over. I think of Abraham. You know, Abraham didn't have an easy journey. Okay? He moved out of a comfortable home into a land that he'd never seen before. Okay? It was a place that that God told him about, but he'd never gone to Google Maps. There was no Google Earth. There was no GPS. He didn't even have a road map. He couldn't rely on there being a rest stop with some coffee and maybe a cookie and a bathroom break. And quite honestly, AAA is not coming out to fix your camel when it has a flat. Okay? In those lands, when you went outside of what you knew, it was pretty close to being a death sentence. Because robbers and thieves and wild animals lived all throughout the Middle East. And they don't care whether you're a nice person, whether you pay your tithe. All they know is you've got something that they want. And the enemy has something that he wants from you. Not because he can do anything with it, but he wants to get to God. He wants to hurt God by hurting you. Because he can't do anything against God. God is outside of his reach. But he can reach the one that God loves. And he can try to work his will. But God has another plan. You know, Abraham received a promise from God that his descendants would become a great nation. And yet he received this promise long after Abraham was years and years old and Sarah was thought to be beyond her bearing years. Can you accept the fact that God could give you a promise that you have no way of believing that it could happen? Could God give you a promise of a greater thing that there's no way that you could lay your hand on it? It is beyond your reach. It's beyond the reach of the greatest man that you know, the greatest power that you know, except it's not beyond God. And then imagine being asked to give up the promise of a son, to take that son and lay him on the altar and give it back to God. Have you ever given something back to God that was precious to you? Say, Lord, this is something I just want to hold on to. Abraham had wanted Isaac. He had to get rid of Ishmael because of the problem with Hagar and the worldly sin that had happened there, the fleshly nature wanting to take over to make God's promise happen. But eventually he had to reject that in favor of the one son that was the heavenly promise. And then God asked him to do the one thing that he never thought God would ever do. Ask him to sacrifice the blood of his son, his beloved son. Ooh, Abraham's going in a direction he never thought he had to go. He was going to have to give something up that was precious to him, something that gave him delight, something that was going to give him a future. That God said, God, you said you were going to give me this future, that my children would fill the earth and they would be a blessing unto all nations. God, how's that going to happen if I slay my only son, which you gave me? Lord, I don't understand. Imagine that. Well, God is a preparer of hearts. If you have your Bibles, let's start at Genesis chapter 12. And we're going to go right to the first verse. Because we're going to see here that God is going to prepare Abraham at the beginning of this story for an incredible journey which he never knew that he would have to take. But he trusted the Lord just enough each and every day to take the next step. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord hath said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. Get thee, you get out of this country. You see, Abram needed to remove himself from Ur of the Chaldees because God had a promise elsewhere. Now, could God have elevated Abram in Ur of the Chaldees? Could he have given him mighty riches? Could he have given him a son there? Could he have made him a great nation? Sure. Lord is able to do that. So there was no earthly reason that we could think of why he would have to uproot himself from one place and go somewhere else where he doesn't know. But God has another plan. See, God is preparing the heart. And he's preparing Abraham to go to a place where he can serve the Lord without the distraction of the world, of the fleshly nature. So it moves him out of a world filled full of laws and walled cities and guards and merchants coming in and going through and mighty dainties and wonderful foods and all kinds of pleasures of this world into a land that he's going to inherit. So he says, get you out of your country. And then God continues, and from thy kindred. You know what? Family, your kindred, your friends, and your family. Sometimes those are people who can prevent you from walking in faith with God. It's sometimes just having that association with the best friend. It could be even your brother or your sister, somebody that you love so much that you're not willing to give up the one thing that could be preventing you from having the fullness of that relationship with the Almighty God. Because you start to make that person an idol in your life. Hey, I got to go over to Joe's house and we're going to watch the game. And I know it's Sunday and, you know, the pastor won't care because he knows it's the big game of the year, or my team is playing and it's a special time, or maybe we're going to a baby shower. And I know I should be, doing the Saints Pantry downtown, but, you know, this only happens like once a year. These kinds of things can pull away, carefully pull you out of the will of the Lord, like that God the plan that God has for you, and take you in directions that he never wanted you to go. And then eventually you'll say, how did I get there? So Abram is being told, get you away from your kindred, your friends and your family, from your father's house. You know, your parents have the greatest influence over you when you're young. They teach you the traditions of the family. They teach you your morals. They teach you ethics. Quite often they teach you your first, how to read, how to write. Abram wasn't an illiterate man. He, from tradition, we know that he was quite intelligent. Okay, but Abram loved his father very much. Okay? He, in fact, we'll learn a little bit later just about how much he actually loved his dad. But even those parents, maybe it's a grandparent, people that we love so much, sometimes you have to walk away from those relationships to walk into a relationship with your heavenly Father. And so he says, I'm going to show you a land. Okay? I'm going to take you to a land that I'm going to show you. And Abraham's going to have the opportunity to see this land where his descendants are going to be a blessing unto the nations. You see, Abraham was being prepared. But first he had to listen. Okay? That's where it starts. Can you listen? When you love somebody, when a person that we know that we want to impress them and then we want to really get to know them, we listen real closely to them. They say something and we'll remember it. I'm going to remember that person's birthday because I want to get them a card or something special. Okay? Or I know they'd like to go on vacation somewhere. So I'll get them all kinds of stuff that is related to that because I want to show that person that I really care about him. So I'm going to listen to what they have to say. Well, Abram had to listen to God. He had to listen with intently and close. Here's the thing about listening. When two people are having a conversation, if one of them is just thinking in their head all the time what they're going to say next, you're not really listening. Your heart isn't open. If you're trying to think about how to impress the person with the next sentence, then you're not listening with a heart that loves. You know, when I go into prayer and I want to hear God's voice, you know, I just ask God to silence, first of all, my own voice. Because I got a lot to say. I got a mouth that can run 1,000 miles an hour some days. And I've got an opinion about just about everything. Just ask anybody who knows me. And I can rationalize just about anything through my own thoughts. And then try to say that it's God. But what am I really doing? I'm doing that which was right in my own eyes. Like it is said in the end of the book of Judges, every man doing that which was right in his own eyes. So I ask God, you know, silence my voice. We need to silence our own voice, but also silence the voice of others. You got to block out the world. Turn off your TV, turn off your radio, get away from the pets, get away from family, and just pray. Pray, listen to God. And of course, the enemy wants to talk to you as well. So you got to silence his voice. Abraham knew that you had to listen to God and silence the voice of the others to hear God speak and to give a revelation. He didn't interrupt God because God was revealing to him a prophecy of what he was about to walk into. If the Almighty King says, I have a treasure for you in heaven. And you say, but God? And you got your own litany of things that you want to list off. Does it have this? Does it have this? Does it have this? Does it have this? God is saying, well, son or daughter, those are things that you desire. I have the desires of my heart that I'd love to give you. But you're too filled up with your own desires. Those desires that you've placed upon yourself and the desires that the world has filled you up with and has pushed me out. Just be still. Be still and know that I am God. Abram needed also to learn how to trust God. You know, he made the decision to trust God without question. To remove all doubt. To take what he knew about God and about his character, about his substance, about what God had revealed to him about his majesty and his glory, and that he was going to trust in that. He was going to rely, take everything that he had, and place it into the hands of the Almighty and say, it all belonged to you anyway. So listening and trust. God is watching. He's preparing the heart. Now, it isn't that God doesn't know the condition of your heart. God knows where you are today in relationship to Him. But I'll tell you a secret. You don't. You know, quite often we'll give ourselves a bunch of grace over things. We think we're pretty special people. Yeah, you know, we mess up every once in a while, but you know, we're pretty tight, God. You know, we'll fix it all up. I'll repent and I'll say I'm sorry, and you know, I'll be your kid again. But the heart is, it's desperately wicked. Okay. And it hides the truth of who you really are, even from yourself. So God prepares you by revealing to you your character, your nature. Why? But why? Why would He do that? Because God loves us so much, He wants to give us the opportunity to become overcomers. That we can come to the throne and say, Lord, I really have messed up today. I am desperately sorry. I've been so wicked from before Your eyes. Lord, I'll never do that again. I'll never do that again. So the Lord looks for a changed attitude. He prepares us by helping us to change our attitude about things, about life. I was talking about Abraham's father earlier. Abram loved his father. His father was a maker of idols. He had a shop there in Ur of Chaldees where he made idols. And so Abram knew all about false gods, that they were made by the hands. And yet Abram loved his father despite the fact that his father was deeply involved in all kinds of foul things. But it took, as much as Abraham, because Abraham loved his father so much, it actually took the death of Abraham's father to help Abraham move on into the walk of the promise of God. Because he was no longer holding on to the past. He was no longer holding on to the past. And Galatians, it says that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness' sake. Okay. Abraham was staying where he was because he had a heart for his father and he wanted to be there at the last moments to try to share with him the truth of who God really was. Abram was not being disobedient. He had a commission from God. Reveal your heart, son. Can you go to the one person that's so close to you that you love and offer them My truth before they pass from this earth? Because God was not wanting Abraham's father to go into the darkness. So He allowed Abraham to stick around until the very end. God prepares our heart with obedience. Abraham never turned back. In fact, there were times when he wanted to get a son or a wife for his son, he sent a servant to go to his brother to get one of his daughters for his own son. Abram knew that that keeping his eyes focused on God would mean that he would never fail backwards, that he would always fail forwards. That, you know, we can be good at keeping promises for a while. We say, I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to work here, and I'm just going to do my best, and pretty soon the life will get in on you, and you forget the promise that you've made. There was a study done recently with three-year-olds to see if they could stick to a decision. So they were offered, they'd set a three-year-old down, and they'd show him a marshmallow. Okay? And they say, okay, now if you just hang out, wait for 5 minutes, don't touch that marshmallow, you can have two marshmallows as long as you don't eat that one marshmallow. Most of those three-year-old kids never made it much past the two-minute mark. Because whatever we see that's in front of us that looks tasty and good, and we know that it's going to be awesome inside our mouth and it's just going to bring us joy, we're just going to grab it, even though we might have the promise of a double portion. But obedience is better than sacrifice. So Abraham was able to listen, to trust, to change his attitude, to obey, and live a life in worship to God with joy and love. He was able to receive the promise of God by casting off all the burdens of this world. And finally, Abraham knew that to clinch the deal, sometimes it takes somebody that who is close to you, maybe, to walk with you into that promise. So he took Lot with him. Okay, he took somebody with him to help him keep his promise. See, if Abraham ever had half a thought that, well, maybe I ought to go back and take over Dad's shop, he knew he'd be disappointing Lot because of the promise that Abram gave Lot. See, two men coming together and promising each other that they will accomplish a goal. Honor comes into that, and a little bit of pride, not the bad kind, but a little bit of pride comes into that. And then the resolve can become stronger together. This was an example of Abraham actually discipling. He was taking Lot along with him. Lot didn't really know what was going to happen. He knew that his crazy uncle here has got a promise from some god that they're going to go do something really big, but he didn't really understand what was going to happen. But he knew that his uncle had a way about him, something that was peculiar, something that was strange. And Abram was able to disciple him through that, to be an example. And now Abraham has completed this preparation. He's been shown by God. He's prepared his mind. He's prepared his heart. He's loving and worshiping the Almighty. And now he's ready to go into a new direction. He's ready to leave the whole old world behind, abandoning what was familiar and troubling. You know, we want to have mastery over our world. So things that are familiar help us out. Oh, you know, I know Bob down the street. He's got a house, and that house was built at that, you know, and this year. And I know Cleveland over there. You know, we went to school together. All those things put together help to give us a foundation that we can stand on. We know where we are. Okay, we know who we are based on our world, having mastery, having an understanding of the old nature. But the Lord has a different way. He says, no, just leave that all behind. It's holding you back anyway. It's holding you back. It's keeping you from being my son or my daughter. And recognize you're going to have a dry season. You may have dry seasons between times where you don't know where you're going. You don't know what this person is trying to say to you. It sounds like they're being really mean, but they're actually trying to help you. Sometimes it feels like people are kicking you when they really are trying to pick you up. When we take those dry seasons as an opportunity to build our faith and to really seek out God, and fixing our gaze on our destination, we checking our landmarks, keeping the path straight and clear, avoiding the traps, pitfalls, the snake in the road. It's important when the Lord says, I have a plan to show you, to follow the path that He's laid out for you. To walk the line that the Lord has given you. It may seem to your mind or your way of being a twisting, winding road, but in fact, because God is a holy God, it's straight, and we're the ones who are winding and twisting in our hearts, in our spirits. You know, I served in the Air Force, and Bruce did too. I was a security specialist, so was Bruce. I worked nukes, but we also had planes on our base. And one of the things, peculiar things about security is that you have to have a way of knowing who's your friend and who's an enemy, okay? So, because sometimes the enemy can look like a friend. You know, we did lots of training where somebody would come up in a uniform and he'd sound right and he'd so on and so forth, but there might be one or two things wrong, and that would give you a clue. So, for example, we were protecting a plane out on the tarmac. We knew what direction the pilot was supposed to come in. See, they didn't just necessarily walk straight to the plane because somebody who's taking we designed a path that pilot had to walk so that the security guard would be able to, one, see them clearly, that you wouldn't be able to hide, and two, it would be a signal and a sign to us that this person knows his job and he actually belongs to us. So he'd walk this kind of circuitous route and we're watching him, and he comes up to his plane and we'd say, sir, welcome aboard. Now, if the enemy came in and he walked straight up to that plane, we know, whoop, something's wrong. Stand and deliver. We're ready to fight. The Lord gives us a path to walk. Okay? And in that path, in our eyes, it looks like it's winding and twisting. But it's a path that is safe. It's a path that He has designed for us to make sure that we are a people who are within His will and not coloring outside of the lines and playing on the edges and going our own way, but going the way of God. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit leads us so that we do not become an enemy of God. We live by the Spirit. We wait on what God, what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. And the world is looking at us and going, that guy's kind of crazy. I mean, you just go over there. You just do that thing. But we know that that is not what we are called to do. We're called to a greater thing, a mightier thing. We're going a new direction in life. So Abraham went an entirely new direction in his life. And then he was then able to cross over into the promise, to live in the promise that God had offered him all those years ago. Now, it might interest you to know that the word Hebrew, the root of that word actually means to cross over. Okay. And to cross over is really the difference between religion, being a religious person, and being a person of faith. You see, you can do all the God-like things, get all polished up, look really nice, wear shiny shoes and a press suit, and say all the Christianese type thing. But if you don't have that relationship, if you're not walking with God, it's just a bunch of clanging cymbals. You're just making a bunch of noise saying, look at me! Look at me, aren't I great? I'm just so holy and I'm so righteous and I'm so wonderful. Come on over here, be like me. I'll teach you what to do. And then that person has authority over others and he teaches others and he makes disciples to himself. And on that day of glory when Christ comes, then Christ will look at that person and say, I never knew you. And I never knew you. And you followed him and I never knew you. But having faith, walking with others who are in faith, whatever they look like, smell like, sound like, it might be somebody who just gets under your skin and says things to you that you don't like. But there'll be a spirit between the two of you, okay? The spirit of an almighty God who will say, you need to submit. He'll just quietly say, just submit. Put down those attitudes, those evil things that rise up in you, your pride, your arrogancy. Lay them down because I have a greater blessing for you. Put off the old man and put on the new man. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, for without faith it's impossible to please God. So be resolved to trust in the Lord. Have a prior commitment to trusting God. You know, that's an unusual concept in our world today. See, people will trust what current science will say, even though what they're saying now contradicts what they said 20 years ago. They'll put their trust in that before they'll trust a scripture that has never been proven wrong. See, I have a prior commitment to believe God. I have a Bible. I read every day. I listen. I allow myself to be mentored each and every day. I spend more time in that than I spend in anything else. Okay. Because I have a prior commitment to believe God. Even above those things that I'm saying, Lord, I don't understand this. This seems contrary to what I know about the world or what I've been taught. And yet I absolutely refuse anymore to place anything above God. above my Lord. You know, Abraham lived under the laws of Hammurabi. It's the first codified law, basically, that we know of. And yet, he turned his back on all of that. He turned his back on security, on understanding, on having a culture that understood the value of having law. He turned his back on it because there's a higher law. There's a greater law. The law that God lays down and shows men. And he surveyed the land, taking measure of what God prepared for him. You know, as we're crossing over, when we cross over, we need to take a look at the gifts that we're given and evaluate them. Say, Lord, okay, I've got some rocky land over there. It doesn't look like I'm going to be able to put any seed down. Doesn't look like there's going to be much going on over there. But over there, it's plenty green. We've got water. We've got maybe some animals that I could pasture out there. Lord, it looks good over there. Take measure of what God's given you. Because there's a purpose and a blessing that he has in everything that's been prepared. That rocky ground might turn out to be Mount Moriah. It might be where you're going to build the temple. Where you can claim that ground because in the future, Solomon's going to build the temple there. It may look like a hunk of rock right now, but it'll be used for glory. Wherever you go, even though you've crossed over, guess what? In that land, you're going to face the enemy. And you need to confront him. We're no longer to walk in fear. We live the mighty life. You know, in Genesis, the first war is recorded in Genesis 14. Abraham, his nephew Lot, gets scooped up and carried off, and nobody knows where they've gone. God talks to Abraham, and Abraham puts together a small force, and he goes out and confronts the enemy. And he saves his nephew and others. Apparently there was a lot of booty, a lot of money, a lot of cattle that he could have taken back with him. And in fact, Abimelech said, well, you know, just give me the people that you captured, and you can keep all the other stuff. But Abraham was not into that. He didn't want to receive payment for being the deliverer of the people whom he loved, for doing the work that God had set before him, for having the spirit of love and compassion upon other people. He said, no, I'm not going to take one item, not one shoe latchet. I'm giving it back over to God. And he gave a tithe of everything that he had to the king of Jerusalem. We're to be separate from this world, and God grants us the strength to overcome. And nowhere does it say that Abraham was a mighty man with tremendous armor and a sharp sword and that he knew tactics well, but he was a man who was able to make, he made a decision. One man who can make with confidence and ready to make, and making a decision can be a majority. And ye can overcome whatever the world throws at you. The enemy can throw 100, 1,000 men at you. And you will overcome them if you're walking with the Holy Spirit. And Abraham engaged God. He took hold of God and made intercession for the people of Sodom. You see, God was also testing Abraham's heart at this point, where he knew that Abraham knew that his nephew Lot was in Sodom, and that God was about to destroy these cities. And he interceded with God. He said, God, if there are some righteous people there, surely you're not going to destroy the whole city. And God said, no, for those righteous people, I'll hold back. Do you think that God didn't know how many righteous men and women were in Sodom and Gomorrah? No, of course he knew. Of course he knew exactly what those people were doing and how they were treating others and how they were treating themselves, giving themselves over to lusts, unnatural lusts, and destroying their relationship with God. God knew that already. What the Almighty was doing was revealing the heart of Abraham. And Abraham was responding to the calling of God, saying, if there's even just a few, Lord, would you hold back your hand? Abraham then realized who he was in God's eyes and in glory. And so he could then reveal or proclaim the Almighty throughout the land to his children, to his servants, to the men and women who gave him honor throughout all of Canaan. We've talked about preparing our hearts, about a new going in a new direction and crossing over. And now it's finally we come down to resting in the promises of God. I like to call it God's nevers and his always. See, you know, God says he will never fail you or let the fire go out. God will never break his promise. God will never suffer the righteous to be moved or to worry. God will never let you be in confusion or doubt. God will never put you to shame. God will never forget the works of the righteous. God will never leave you where he found you. Thank the Lord for that. Thank you, Lord. God will never abandon you to thirsting. God will never let his word fail to astonish you. God will never let the righteous see death, nor will any pluck you from his hand. And God will never leave nor forsake you. Never. Never. But God has his always as well. God will always bring the Holy Spirit to those who will seek him. God will always bear your burdens. God will always lead you into righteousness. He will always bless the land that he has given you. He will always clothe you in Christ and fill you with the Holy Spirit. God will always hear us in our weakness. God will always receive your praise. God will always lead you to triumph in Christ, so that you can overcome. God will always lift you up to be confident in the Lord. God is always sufficient in all things. God will always give you peace, and he will fill your mouth with an answer for the hope that is within you. What is your journey? What journey has God sent you on? Is he sending you to a new city where you're going to have new traditions, a whole new culture that you're going to have to learn, a place so unfamiliar to you that you just don't have any roots down there yet? Maybe you're going to change a job or even have struggles with your family. Maybe that's going to be your journey, whatever it is. Let God prepare your heart. Let him walk you in a new direction. Cross over. You know, at every point, God is taking you to a higher challenge to your character. But He'll never give you more than you can handle. Oh, it'll seem like it. It'll seem, Lord, I don't want to give that up. I don't want to do this. Lord, it's way too hard. But just a little bit of faith. And you cross over and you go, you know, I don't know what I was complaining about. I don't need that at all. God can deliver you. If belief in God was considered to be insanity, would you be committed? Would you be committed? Be committed to God. Have a prior commitment to God. And walk in that wonderful faith. Sticking with the Holy Spirit. Modeling your life in Christ and trusting in God alone. Most of you here know that my wife and I are moving on to a new assignment. And we've had a wonderful, more than 6 years. 6 years? Yeah, 6 years here. We've had a wonderful family that we've been able to grow with, mature with, to laugh with, and cry with, to have the high times and the low times. And it has been a journey that I have very much treasured. And I would encourage you, wherever you are on your journey, to walk with the Holy Spirit, to let Him lead you on paths of righteousness, to wear the cloak of righteousness, garments of praise, and live by His word each and every day. And receive the fullness of the gifts of the Holy Spirit into your lives, not so that you bottle them up, but so that they will flow out of you like rivers of water, blessing those around you and bringing the love of Christ wherever you are.